Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. This is part two of a bonus series we're doing just to try and tell some stories and share behind the scenes of planting some new GCs at Element. So today I'm really excited to let you in to learn more about the core team of Stronghold, which is a new group that's launching on Sunday, July 13th. Here we have myself today, John G.
Hi.
I don't have a mic. He doesn't have a mic, but he says hi. And then we also have some military families represented that are coming over from Storytellers. So I'd love for you guys to introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Kyla Gabbert. My husband, Peter Gabbert, is a missileer, and we have two little boys. We've been at Element for 2 years now. I'm also the middle school director here at Element. But as a military spouse, my life is constantly changing all the time. And so that is just part of my routine.
Hi, I'm Carrera Burris.
And I'm Brian Burris.
And we are both in the Air Force. I am also a missileer. And we have two young children, Lydia and Ezekiel. We've been coming to Element for about 3 years. And we've had such a heart and a passion for our gospel community and are really excited for this opportunity. I don't like to use the word splitting, but kind of like a mitosis where it's one cell that splits into two, but with the same mission, maybe a little bit of a different focus. And I'll jump it over to Brian to introduce himself.
Yep. I am an Air Force chaplain on the base, and we share the experience of not just one couple, but two couples who are dual military, which we'd be happy to answer the questions of like what does that entail for struggles, but also what we're kind of looking for when other military couples come in and have those same struggles.
So I'm Mariah Mitchell. I'm a captain in the United States Air Force, specifically with the California National Guard. I'm trained as a space systems officer in Colorado. I did survival missile warning, and out here I do military satellite communications. As a National Guard person, I do my 1 week in a month, 2 weeks over the summer, which ends up being more often sporadically spread out through the year and the month. And then I'm a defense contractor with Space Delta V as an integration manager.
Hi, I'm Danny Mitchell. I am a sergeant in the United States Army. I am stationed up in Benicia. And at my unit, I'm also a first sergeant for the sustainment battalion. My day-to-day, I work as a trained integrator for Space Force.
We've been coming to Element since we PCS'd October 2019. It was a dynamically changing event in our lives. So with our two kids, Aiden and Amelia, really found our community here at Element, and it really kind of helped set some dynamics aligned, especially with finding a community when you come out and have no friends and no associations with what that new world kind of looks like. And then along with the Burrises, having that dual military family, kind of understanding the dynamics of whose career takes precedence, kind of the balances of having the two working parents, but then also as a reservist, trying to bridge the gap between military life and the identity that you find in that. And how do you bridge that into a community and find purpose outside of what the military has for you?
So obviously, I mean, to me and John, like, you guys have been such an integral part of Storytellers, like, up until now. But I'd love to hear a little bit, like, from your perspectives, what was that like, given your backgrounds, coming into a community? I think just given, you know, your history of moves and the nature of your work, it meant something different to you, right, than it would maybe to like the average person. So I would love to hear more about that.
Yeah, I'll start for that one. This has been our fourth assignment, Brian and I, moving around. We've been to various churches during our time. So with Brian being a chaplain, sometimes it's been the chapel, but oftentimes it was like an off base or more community centered church that was in the local area. And some of the struggles that Brian and I would run into when we were coming into a new church was feeling the sense, and sometimes, unfortunately, people would verbalize this as well, of, we don't really want to get too close to you. We know you're going to move in 3 years, or, you know, we're going to get close, but not so close to where our hearts hurt that you're going to leave. And it was so challenging because we would make really deep connections, and some of those connections would continue on even after we had left. But it would be really challenging, especially for people that had been local to the area, you know, had never left that area. And it would feel either really difficult to break in and to make relationships and connections. It would also feel difficult to be an actual part of that community, because folks would say, whether they would say it or, you know, act unintentionally in certain ways, of like, oh, well, we all went to high school together. We've all been friends since, you know, we were super young, and now our kids are all going to school together. And it wouldn't even be things like we have differences, you know, theologically or politically, or we might all be completely the same, but it was the sense of like, well, you're leaving. And that is something coming into Storytellers. I felt just the same kind of apprehension. Oh my gosh, everyone here knows each other. They've known each other for a long time. What if I don't make friends? What if it takes a long time and we don't have a long time? We only have 3 years. And that is not what we were met with. And it was actually unnerving that everyone welcomed us in like with open arms. And we were instantly, we would feel sometimes in other churches or other communities, oh, well, we don't want to get too deep. And you military people get too deep too fast. And it takes time to build a relationship. And for Storytellers, not having some military members, having not military members, everyone was like, all right, everyone, open it up. Tell us exactly what's going on. We're going to dig deep and we're going to go deep. And that is something that we have not experienced before, but truly is what we want to continue on. I think the heart of Storytellers to continue on in our stronghold gospel community, too.
For us, having gone through a couple different moves and seeing kind of a few different churches, it was always just kind of knuckle under, get to the next thing, kind of like we were saying earlier, like it's temporary. So you're just kind of dealing with it until you move on to the next thing or next assignment, next step in the whole process. We actually came across Element. I was going to officer training and we had just gotten the orders that were coming to Vandenberg. And so I felt called to kind of do some research because I knew that this was going to be different in other assignments and jobs. We had kind of friends and family that we can still kind of go towards in the area, but this was going to be the first time that we were going to be completely isolated. So I knew that finding a church was going to get us plugged into a community in the best way, where we can find little nitinoid things like a dentist or like where's the next barbershop that we can go to. But what we found was is that a community that had such a heart and an outreach that where we were just kind of going through the motions and going through the temporary patching into the next step, where God, I felt that he really put onto our hearts of taking a pause and recalibrating and refocusing. And so while Vandenberg was supposed to be kind of a temporary place for us, we were only supposed to be here for a couple of years. What we found instead was God putting these amazing people into our lives that changed us from where we were so focused on mission and so focused on military aspects to there's this whole slew of different people and experiences that felt called to our hearts and kind of presented us with really healing opportunities.
Peter and I initially, when on our first duty station, when we were tiny little 22-year-olds, knew that we wanted to get involved in churches and things, but that was our first experience where we were wrapped up in a community. We were pulled in the best way and invited into their lives. And from that moment, we knew that that was what we wanted to seek at every duty station. And then we moved in late 2020, which meant with a 10-month-old infant. So it was very scary, and we worked in the church we were in at the time to get involved, but we could not connect, and we realized how isolating that was for us and recommitted ourselves to making sure that we fought to find community that we connected with, but also that we were willing to be vulnerable. Kind of like you said, Carrero, there sometimes people have this hesitancy to involve military families because of the transient nature, but in our experience, that has made us all the more passionate and willing to get involved in what the Lord is doing in our lives with whoever we are placed with, because it can matter so much, even when it's a short amount of time, the impact that military families can have on the community, but also that community can have on those military families can make such a difference. You know, we went through such an isolating period, and then We came in and looked for churches for a little while when we first got here because we were really trying to see where God wanted us. And we got invited to trivia night. And immediately as we were going home, it was so funny. I told Peter, I said, I think this is our community, like hanging out. I think Mariah and I in our first interaction like fought over like the definition of it was a soft drink. That's what it was. It was a question about soft drinks.
Whether or not Tang was the first soft drink to go to space. And then we argued about the definitions of soft drink.
Yes, we did, because it was like hard drinks versus soft drinks. And it was hilarious. But that entire interaction, I was like, Peter, this is the community I want to be a part of. Like,
there were important
arguments to be had, and this is one of them.
Yes, it was important because we felt like we were correct. We needed to be. But then in our first meeting with storytellers, you know, your family was so vulnerable and open. And Peter came back to me because he went by himself that day due to some things. And he was like, they were so open. This is a place where we can be open. And then when we went through our own vulnerable situation, we knew we could be wrapped up in that community. And so that heart is really important to us, especially from a military lens, because you have to be a safe space for people to be vulnerable in so that they can be involved. Because the isolation when you don't have that community is just devastating. And so we have a huge heart for that safe place that is within the church and creating those connections to the local community, not just the military families as well, making sure that those are interconnected with each other.
Yeah, I think a big thing that like kind of allowed us to be a part of this community that just made us feel like this is exactly where we wanted to be is an oversense of like my identity as a military member is not the one that is being emphasized. It's mm-hmm. the identity of a Christian that is being emphasized. And when a church can do that, to like allow us to emphasize that I can finally step away from my military lifestyle and be a part of something that I'm supposed to be a part of. Like that's what, like in the military families who are Christian, that's what we thrive for. We know how to make friends with other military members. The quickest question is like, oh, you were stationed in Minot. Like, I'm sorry, so was I. Like, let's be friends. It's so easy to make friends that way, but to have a church that is willing to emphasize your identity in Christ. And I think that was, as soon as we kind of felt that, like, oh, like how have you dealt with it being a military member going through this, asking those questions, that allowed us to, you know, I feel more like a Christian than I feel like an officer in the military. Like if I can feel that way in a group, and that's what storytellers actually did. Like I felt so much more than me just being a military chaplain. Like I can preach on Sundays, I can go and take care of people, but I've really felt more of just a Christ follower when I'm with people who emphasize that identity.
I have so much respect for all of you, because when you were all talking, it just seems like the isolation and loneliness and difficulty forming meaningful relationships has been like so present throughout your entire time as adults, and that's heartbreaking. All of you have felt like meaningful, stable people, and I don't often think about like where you guys are leaving. I'm really sad knowing that some of you are leaving, but like you feel like meaningful planted members in like my life.
It does get hard, especially with really big groups. What has been my experience is that the greater church communities, like you really don't. Like we think about like our small snippet in Montana where we actually did have a really good group of people, even though it was less than a year. We actually had maybe two or three of those people over at our house here at Vandenberg. And it's that identity that we can kind of say like, okay, well, it's like we're not going to be gone fully. Like there is an intention to like go in and hang out and travel, but it's also hard. Like we're all working. We're all like most of us are in the military. And so having that leave time to go back to those communities does get a little harder. But even just as a military family who like dreads the day that when we do have to say our goodbyes, we're already planning on like, all right, take this leave. We're going to come back and this is how we're going to see our people because we're leaving a part of ourselves as well. Like we're leaving like our heart that was instilled in this family, who again has emphasized that identity in Christ and not just that identity in our military career. And so like, if I don't think about when I'm coming back, I am going to cry because I don't want to leave.
So let's talk about when we ominously approached you guys and wanted to have a meeting, quote unquote.
For the record, I assumed that it was a good conversation, but it was very funny. We're just like, are we in trouble or are we being asked to do something?
I think Mariah, was it you? You came to me and you're like, are we getting kicked out of the GC?
Yes. I was like, oh no, they found me out.
This is when they tell us to leave.
Because that's how I roll. I'm going to sidebar with you guys and excommunicate you. We reached out to you guys, right? And we presented this idea of planting this new GC, which did not have a name yet, working title, right? But tell us.
Rest in peace, Freedom Eagles.
Yeah. Y'all should be grateful we're not Freedom Eagles because we were real close.
No, we were not. That was not close.
It was a straight out no.
Share with us just what that process was like for you guys from first kind of hearing the idea of, you know, this GC concept to going, praying, discerning about it, coming back. Would love to hear that.
With this idea, I felt this was very important just from everyone that's been talking already. Finding that community and those friends is really hard, especially when you're moving constantly. And then those that are actually doing 24/7 missions, like my background is missile defense. So the reason why we came out here is for my position. And I was doing 12-hour shifts, roughly about 4 days a week, if that, probably longer. And that isolation, especially when COVID hit, made things so much worse. So trying to have that community, like we had that community already started, just made things better. It made things a little bit easier, even though I know COVID was hard on a lot of people with that additional isolation. I can only talk about my experience where they actually made it even more isolated for me, because I would usually work in a room full of maybe up to five people, and then it just became me. Mm-hmm. I was by myself for 12 hours a day just waiting for stuff to happen. So it was hard. But knowing that I had a community and a church outside of it made things a lot easier for me to process and to just feel that I still belong. So with the fact that I know that there's still a lot, and Mariah and I work with a lot of people that still do 12-hour shifts. So knowing that this group is starting to aim towards those service members is really important, and we're really excited to get that started.
Kind of what Dan was saying is that this, not just Stronghold in the time that we've been with Strongholds, but even just with Element, has been such a transformative part of our journey as military members, as children in Christ, and then as a couple. You're right, Michelle, when you told us that we were going to have a talk, and I was like, oh, I know what this talk's going to be about. There was a part of me, because there's been times that, like, I've been asked to not be part of a community. I've lost civilian friends because it's hard to understand the commitment that's involved with military life. And there was kind of a fear that, like, hey, you guys are kind of the outliers right now. And we need you to basically just segregate off and become part of your own. Go figure yourselves out and good luck. But then I think about the times where, since we've been here, the outreach and the outpouring of love, and it was always just a community of open arms and acceptance. It was so transformative for us because, and I guess especially for me, I came in with a lot of different experiences from my military past and not always in the positive light. The community that created a safe space during the time of isolation where Dan was gone and I had to try and keep the family together while I'm also doing my own military commitment. The change in light after we had this kind of conversation, I got over that flare of hurt, came to this idea of the goodness and the grace that I have received from God and the community that we built around us, and how impactful and transformative that could be to other members that might be dealing with very similar situations, especially here at the base where there's going to be a slew of missileers and space operators who are in SCIF environments with no family, 12 hours away, and how they're going to need that just as much as I did.
Funny enough, when we got that text from you, I actually had a little bit of peace because I saw most of the numbers and I was like, oh, I know all these people. But I figured that was coming because we had been having discussions about, you know, needing to branch out the mitosis, as Kerr put it, right? Needing to branch out to reach new community members, I guess, to reach a new community. And so I got those texts and I told Peter, I was like, I think this is about us being a part of a new GC. And I had so much peace because I knew that it meant, okay, the change is happening. Cause so much of military life is just hurry up and wait. You prepare and you know this is going to happen. And then you are waiting around for the actual answer or, the news, the orders, whatever it looks like. Especially as a spouse, I have literally no control over any of it, right? I am a very anxious person and a perfectionist. And so I'm constantly checking in, you know, with Peter, like, did you get our five bids in? Did you like get what we wanted? And, you know, trying to, but I have so little control over some of that. And so this change happening wasn't shocking to me because we had been having the conversations, but it was comforting to know that this intention of military families was going to be there because even as a spouse, well-meaning people will often, like when I talk about when the pandemic happened, Peter would go out on 2-week long alerts. And I had, John was 4 months old at that point, and I was teaching online because I was teaching full-time then. And well-meaning, wonderful siblings would be like, oh my gosh, that sounds so hard. I don't know how you do that.
It was not a choice.
I was like, I have to. But there are other military spouses that understand that aspect of it. And it's not to say we don't want to be connected to the community, but it's also important to be connected to other military spouses and members because there is this layer of understanding and support in a way that unless you've been through it, you can't always anticipate very well. And you can have all the love in your heart. And that's why we want people in the community to also be involved because we need that stable piece as well. But it's wonderful to know that there could be this safe space for military families to rest with people who understand alongside community members as well.
For me, I feel like it goes even farther back than the text message that you sent us. And it's incredible because I can now, looking back, just see the hand of God like weaving everyone together in all of this. My vision of this started maybe a year or two ago that we had met you all first. Well, we met Janet and Ellen, and through Lydia and Malcolm being really good friends, and through them we met you all. And then we went to a Quick Connect group that Danny and Mariah were leading that we also met the Rays. And when we found out you all were in the same GC, we're like, well, yes, we're going to go to that GC. And Michelle, you approached me and Brian, and you asked, would you be willing to do a podcast? And I didn't realize even what it was for. I hadn't even...
Which we'll link to, by the way.
Oh, okay. It makes me nervous. Nice. I don't remember there. What I said in there.
Oh, it's very wonderful. I listened to it about a month ago. Okay.
And this has been something that's been on my heart for a very long time. I've written... you know, papers on it, ways that like the church can help integrate not just military families, but really this is a generational concern. Millennials move more than any other generation before us. I think to say, oh, well, it's just military members that have trouble acclimating or just military members move a lot. I think that that's really trying to put something on just a specific group of people when really generationally, this is something that we as the church, like with the capital C everywhere, needs to do a better job at, or at least be aware of it. But as I mentioned previously, we've had, you know, kind of negative experiences in churches would say, well, why don't you just lead a Bible study on base? And it felt almost like they were trying to just distract Brian and I by giving us kind of a project. And I bring kind of all of that background up. Michelle, you had approached us and you asked us to do a podcast. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And Mike Reed. And we have so much respect for you all. But I instantly got nervous and I had this apprehension like, oh, no, it's happening again. Like they're wanting us to just like stay on base and like not intervene. So I messaged Mariah and I was like, do you want to get lunch? I need to talk to you about something. So that was the first ominous text message of it all.
Text out of the group text.
I know. Oh no, this was like years ago. Yeah, because I knew her from the Quick Connect group. So that's why I'm like, I feel like I could trust her because I met you and I was like, okay, Mariah, let's get lunch. So we go to the DFAC. Well, we hadn't even joined Storytellers yet. Like the Quick Connect group got us there, but we asked him like, what is this? She's like, you can trust them. We have only the good in their hearts for everyone. So Brian and I, we did it. We were like, we're going to do the podcast. And so now fast forwarding to when we got the message of the ominous one of like, here's the whole group. And then I messaged both Kyla and Mariah at that point.
Are we in trouble? What's
and
happening?
They're all like, we think it's for a new GC. You both. So I was like, okay, all right. A triangulate. I think that's what it's going to be. And I feel so much excitement about it in the bittersweetest way of how incredible Storytellers had been. But now to see the incredible mission sets that both new GCs are going to be going for. And I'll really reiterate what I said in the first podcast. And I say this because really it's my, I want to say like my guiding verse in what Brian and I do. I think every Christian has their mission set that God has placed upon us. I think every couple and every family has a very specific mission set. And to think that we can only do that mission set within one church or one group is ludicrous because God uses us everywhere that we are. And some mission sets are in one location where the roots run deep. But I feel like for Brian and I, sometimes that we're spreading more seed. It's like wider roots rather than deeper roots. And sometimes a mix of both, but it really makes me think of, and it, you know, it's great we're going through the book of Philippians, but this is the verse in Philippians 1:3-6, when the Apostle Paul tells the church, like, I thank my God every time I remember you and in all my prayers for you, I'm overjoyed because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And that is absolutely what I feel. I felt that and I said that then, but even before this GC, you know, we were even in the talks of moving to this. And I feel this way now. And I wrote just a couple of notes, but I wrote the notes of like what this GC is not, because I think it's really easy for military members to be like, oh, it's the military GC, I have to join it. And for non-military folks to be like, can't join it. So it's not an exclusive military gospel community. And it's not something where we're trying to pigeonhole people into being in a certain culture or think like, oh, I have to have base access. Like, you don't even have to have that. Like, we'll take care of everyone. It's like, we will make it work. But really what it is an opportunity to help people in their own mission that God has given them to do this mission work together, both on base and off base, and to connect believers who might have a specific skill set or specific background and being aware of that, but helping one another in that mission.
Beautifully said. You know, I know we can like all laugh about it now, but it like seriously like breaks my heart. You guys have felt, whether here in your anxiety or in previous experiences in reality, like just to feel sidelined or outcast or dismissed, because like speaking for John and I and our family, I feel like through your experiences by proxy, like you've opened our eyes up so much just to the challenges and also the joys like of your work and the sacrifices that you guys have made. And I think there's just so much value in that. And thinking about like the global capital C church, like as we've talked about, Claire, like how amazing is it, regardless of how much time you have here, like there's no reason why we shouldn't invest in one another. Because if God does take you elsewhere, right? Like, look at Paul throughout the New Testament, right? Like there's a purpose behind it. It's not careless. And so I really hope that not just for everyone here sitting at this table, but maybe other service members or families that we encounter along the way, just that they feel deeply like welcomed into the fold and valued and supported.
Well, I can honestly say that from the churches that either we've been a part of or me specifically, that this is probably one of the more welcoming churches I've been a part to. I actually feel like, you know, people know me here versus, you know, bigger churches or just other churches where they see you, but they don't know you. Whereas this one, you know, people come up to you, they know you by your name, they ask about you, and it just feels so much more warm.
Hopefully encourage a lot of the other GCs to kind of identify this as well, is that It's not bad to have a GC remain the same for a few years. Yeah. In fact, like, it's actually awesome to see it change over a small band, and especially one, if it gets larger, or two, if just other members are moving to different locations. You think about us, like, we're like, our GC, as we start this, like, it's going to look different in a couple of years. But the fact that it's going to look different, like, that's also exciting, because there might be more members. There might be members who are looking to start leading, start being a part of the church itself. And that's kind of what we, as like, as believers, should be encouraging, is like participation in the church, like equipping them so that when their time does come to move on, they're ready to share the gospel wherever they go, and encouraging them and equipping them to be able to make those hard decisions, as we did, trying to figure out how to have that community and what that community looks like. And just really super excited for this GC to, I wouldn't say like take the reins on that, but rather like hopefully be an example of just equipping one another. What doesn't matter how long you're going to be here for. And we know like Kerr and I's time is going to be just a little bit shorter than we would like it to be. But ultimately is that like we are excited for it to start equipping, and looking mm-hmm. forward to what it's going to like become when the time comes to for it to grow.
We've got our launch coming up Sunday the 13th. So as we've talked about, you know, second Sunday of the month, we're going to plan to meet on Elements campus or somewhere in Orchid if, you know, the weather's not agreeable. And then fourth Sunday of the month, meeting on base for a family dinner. And that's interesting. I haven't seen something like that happen, I think, in my experience working with Elements GCs, but I really like kind of the expanded reach we're going to have by diversifying our spaces and the nature of our gatherings. But tell me, you know, especially you guys just really being on the ground in this sense, like, how are you specifically excited to engage like Vandenberg's population and welcome people in? We've talked about trivia, for instance, and obviously that seems to be a significant milestone for this core team and brought some of you in.
We all recognize that we want to do an outreach towards military members, military, or those are part of that community in some way, shape, or form. But I think about some of the members that are on base, and especially being on the base during COVID when everything was in kind of isolation, it was one of those mixed blessings. On the one hand, we were safe, and like we had the commissary, so I didn't have to worry about fighting some lady in the grocery store for toilet paper, because it's kind of a private grocery store. But what I found on our time living on the base was that because everyone's so transient, and because it's a kind of self-built community, they have basically everything you would need to consider kind of a small town. If you're not instantly part of like your unit's community and outreach, so like for Danny being in the Army, it's maybe like 11 people total that are on the base. Mm-hmm. And I was National Guard with Colorado. And so like we didn't have a community. Mm. And so it was incredibly isolating. We didn't have family here. And so the thing that I've been really excited about is reaching out to those airmen, soldiers, guardians, sailors that are on the base that may are looking for a connection but don't quite know how to get there. And understand that, yes, we may get them for a handful of months while they're here for training, or they may be here for several years, being able to kind of breathe in some of the light and the healing and some of the rest that we were able to receive, and then being able to take that into the world and become kind of I've always imagined like a beacon that God can kind of shine light to those that they touch, because then it goes so global. That's something I've been really excited about, to kind of do that purposeful outreach to those that maybe don't know how to ask and maybe are a little bit harder to get to.
You saying that makes me think of specifically like the missile students, right? Who are here for such a short amount of time. And we were that way. We just happened to be here longer because of some kerfuffles and, you know, all the contracts or whatever, right? But I think of those people specifically, those young, you know, even the very young enlisted service members that are not here for very long because they're here for training, but to be able to connect and reach out to those people who are kind of stepping out into the world for the first time as well is such a unique opportunity. Because when I think of, for example, a college campus, right? There are so many clubs and communities that are meant to help people connect. But from the military side, there are those things that reach out to the dorms and do those things, but not necessarily intergenerationally. Yeah. And so I think that is such an untapped place that we can possibly connect and serve to allow them to have home cooked meals and those discussions with people that are older and wiser. And then in turn, allowing us to see that perspective of someone who is stepping into the world at that age for the first time, which is different than our own perspective, right? That intergenerational communication and connection has always been important to me from a middle school perspective, but I think in this group specifically is important for those military members who are just starting out their career, because it can set the tone for them then wanting to continue to connect and be part of God's mission for them as they go forward. Because this is exactly what Acts talks about in church building, right? If we are not changing and growing and making disciples, then we're closing in on ourselves, which in a sense right now, I think we have this instinct to do in the church. But we can't do that. We will die. And so this is a huge opportunity to connect people and then quite literally send those people out if and when they leave, to continue to be active community members and know what that community looks like.
If we can at least change one person, whether it's a guardian, soldier, airman, marine, sailor, that's a success.
When we've had the discussions within storytellers, we did kind of come in with the mindset that because there's a base here that it'd be a really great outreach opportunity. But I also kind of want to touch on that. The one thing that I think the military kind of teaches you is to really see past those kind of initial descriptors and to create that kind of community based on even your flaws, loving on the flaws. So I do kind of want to say, like, yes, it is an outreach towards the base. But I think that this is also a really great opportunity to kind of seek out those, even within our own communities, that maybe feel unseen or don't feel like they truly fit into a single group, because the military kind of beats that into you right from the initial training, that you're going to see a slew of people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, and different areas, and that you work together to kind of gain trust and achieve the goal and to achieve mission. And so I just kind of want to put that plug that it's an opportunity that for those that maybe are looking for a way to connect and don't quite know how to do it, the military families are a really great way to kind of help create that center of gravity. Mm-hmm. Because we've been trained, and for us for years and years and decades, that we are successful by embracing the different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lesson the church would do well to embody, right? Really excited about where God's leading us. So if you're listening and you have more questions, let us know. You can email us at stronghold@ourelement.org. We also have a group page on Church Center. But whether you are a part of the military or not, if your heart feels called to this mission, we really encourage you to join us, because your gifts and your strengths will be welcome and used here. All right, we're signing off. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.